This is Messenger Insight, a podcast program brought to you by Oklahoma Baptist and the Baptist Messenger.
Welcome to the Insight Podcast. I'm Chris Forbes, your host. We are joined today by Todd Sanders, and we're going to be talking about the 2022 Oklahoma Teen Faith and Belief Survey. This is a fascinating study that has been done in Oklahoma, and we're just now starting to get to all the details and unpacking that. It's really an amazing research project. And Todd, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Good to be here. Just
talk a little bit about, you know, how you got this, the background of developing this idea for this research.
Yeah. So each year at Falls Creek Youth Camp, we survey students from churches that are on grounds. And we do that in a way that's randomly selecting from different cabin sizes. So we generally are getting different church sizes.
Right.
Going into this year's survey, what I wanted to do is create a little more solid research design, work with research experts who do this to make sure for a number of things, make sure that we, one, are getting the sample size we need. Two, a sample size that's representative of our Oklahoma Baptist churches. Three, surveying Oklahoma Baptist churches specifically. And then also looking at three different segments, the Falls Creek camp population, as well as a general church segment, and then a general youth population in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And so working with an outside group that would kind of help us see some parallels, similarities, differences, so we can draw better conclusions from that research.
Yeah, it's amazing. And like, as I was alluding to earlier, this is a massive study, and the cross-tabulations between those three segments that you're talking about, the Falls Creek and just the Falls Creek and the general church population is amazing. But then to add the general Oklahoma, and then say, hey, here's the church crowd, and here's what youth look like who are engaged with our churches, and then here's what the general, just average youth on the street thinks. It's amazing. There's going to be a lot of learning, and I know that you're still, you know, doing that. But like, do you, how many folks are in the survey that you have right now?
Well, the we're shooting for a sample size, and this year we've gone to six different sample groups in each of the segments, church segment and Falls Creek segment, ranging from an unknown church size or zero church size all the way up to 1,000 or more. So taking each of our church population sizes, breaking that down, and then getting a representative sample from each of those segments. Our Falls Creek sample was over 1,000 students just in that one sample, which gave us a pretty good margin of error. Feel really confident about where we are with the results, and they're going to be accurate, not just representing the Falls Creek population, but also the student population in Oklahoma, middle school and high school. So we feel really good about our sample sizes going into this. We're still working on that church segment because they're not in a barrel, so to speak, so we're not be able to capture them as easily. But we're wrapping up the general youth population in Oklahoma. We've wrapped up the Falls Creek segment, and we're looking now at just finalizing this general church population from our Oklahoma Baptist churches.
Well, and I don't want to get, you know, too much in the weeds on this. I mean, I'm just fascinated by research in general. We've had a number of surveys over the years here in Oklahoma, and I think we've done tons of research around here. And what you have is very scientifically, you know, valid. So I like that. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that you discovered in the research.
Yeah.
And kind of was thinking, let's give a little bit of a profile. Since you're still working on the general church segment and the and I think we probably should look forward to the research for the state, although we might pull some here or there in this conversation. Let's focus on the Falls Creek students right now, because that's kind of on our mind. We're getting ready to ramp up for Falls Creek and stuff like that. So what are some of the findings that you had for the Falls Creek student? Like I'll thought some topics and you just kind of, okay. if you want to speak to yeah. those. First of all, let's talk about salvation and, you know, the salvation experience with the typical student who comes mm-hmm. to Falls Creek.
Yeah. So in previous years, we ask this question every year that we survey students. We find that anywhere from 20 to 25% at the end of the week would claim that they either don't have a relationship with Jesus or are unsure about their salvation with Christ or in Christ. And so that indicates that even a greater percentage come in at the beginning of the week on grounds at any time. So it makes for a unique experience. It also just confirms in my mind and I think in anyone's mind that Falls Creek needs to continue to be a place where the gospel is presented clearly.
Absolutely.
Where students have a chance to respond because there are lost kids in the room mm-hmm. who need the Lord. And so when I look at those numbers, it makes for a very unique worship experience.
Yeah.
It helps us really balance all the things that we're trying to do with Falls Creek, from reaching the lost with the gospel, seeing students saved, advancing the gospel together with our churches, all the way into growing believers and strengthening the church. I think it just shows us the level of importance we need to put on that, mm-hmm. realizing that many students are there who need Jesus.
You know, just last week at my church, someone was sharing a testimony, and he said that, you know, he didn't really understand the gospel as a child, but then it was at Falls Creek that was influencing.
No, that's great.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. You know, the long-range impact
right.
of Falls Creek on life. These are our adults in the future, our leaders.
Right.
And we're reaching them.
That's great.
One of the interesting topics, and this is kind of a goal that we have here in Oklahoma, is to try to affect the change in the baptism rate mm-hmm. in Oklahoma Baptist. Can you paint a picture a little bit about
yeah.
what the baptism rate's background is and then what you found in the study?
Right. Yeah, I think being in Oklahoma and being an Oklahoma Baptist, I'm so grateful for, appreciative of the Oklahoma Baptist churches and our leadership and the mm-hmm. members and the importance that they have always put and continue to put on the gospel, seeing people come to the Lord. There's still work to do. Mm-hmm. There's still many people who need Jesus. And so just an encouragement there, but also just a challenge, because when we look at numbers like our survey students at Falls Creek, three-quarters of those students say that they were baptized as a child or as a student, but then 25%, so a quarter of the students that are there had not been baptized, whether they're lost or just believers waiting to be baptized, or their baptism is on the wrong side of salvation. They were baptized as an infant,
right.
And not after they come to know Christ. So just banging that drum, continue to ring that bell, to let leaders know, let church members know. To be leading students to be baptized. It's not just about a number.
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely want to see that number reverse. We want to reverse that curve here in Oklahoma and nationally to see more students baptized than we have seen over the past 30 to 40 years, a slow decline,
mm-hmm.
1% per year. Dr. Dilbeck used to say it was the worst kind of decline.
Yeah.
Little by little, where you don't notice it until you've reached that spot. So we're working on that. We're trying to heighten that in leaders' minds. Mm-hmm. And research study like this helps us identify those things
mm-hmm.
So we can focus on those things more effectively. We can bring attention to areas of need and help our churches along. But also increasing baptisms means more students are being saved and more students are being reached with the gospel, which means we're engaging more people in gospel conversations. And so you can back it up
mm-hmm.
and see what spiritual growth impact and spiritual discipline impact is happening in the life of believers when you see a greater number of baptisms as it plays out. So a lot of great implications come from
if I could just put a pin in the conversation about the
mm-hmm.
research.
Yeah.
And then, like, I just recently had a conversation with Brian Baldwin about the Good News Coach
for sure.
app.
Yeah.
Can you talk about how that is actually, you mm-hmm. know, this is part of the research and part of the need in the state, how that tool is targeted at that need.
Right. So recently, North American Mission Board has been very generous in providing money to state conventions to simply focus on increasing youth baptisms
mm-hmm.
for that purpose. The Good News Coach app was one of those projects that came out of that effort and that focus. And so it's a great way for us to work on a lag indicator by addressing a lead indicator of gospel conversations,
right?
Gospel training, so we can share Christ, so we can see people come to faith, so we can baptize them. So it plays into that whole discussion and that whole effort to bring attention to youth baptisms, the need to increase that, which also plays into children's baptisms and also plays into adult baptisms. Yeah. So, but our office and our youth compadres around the nation who do what we do in different states are aimed at focusing on that 12 to 17 year old age group, 12 to 18.
Yeah, and remind me, did you say it was a quarter of the youth in there had not been baptized?
Yes, yeah, I think a quarter indicated.
That's some low hanging fruit, especially you know, if there's young people in your church and a quarter of them are not baptized, you just start talking and having those conversations about what baptism is and help them understand.
And knowing that and knowing the situation, the current reality of the situation, trying to change that narrative, reverse that curve, and also just address baptism in general. When we see that need, it helps us react to and respond through Falls Creek programming, youth ministry resourcing, that we're able to give churches what might help them accomplish that more effectively. And so we're going to be even looking at other ways coming up to continue to help churches not just see students saved, not just lead students to share Christ and evangelize, but also to see students follow through in baptism so they can take that first step of obedience in their disciple-making journey.
All right. So looking ahead, you asked some questions like, you know, we're Southern Baptists. We're people of the book. We read the Bible. The Bible's important. We believe it's the, you know, authoritative, inerrant word of God, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And we find that kids have similar beliefs. Can you talk about that, you know, kids and how they interact with the Bible? Do they believe it? Are they reading it? Are they, you know?
Yeah, the vast majority of the students that we surveyed at Falls Creek, again, going back to that survey, say that they believe the Bible is true in all of its claims. Also would say that it's the authoritative word on moral truth. So very highly responded to that, saying we strongly agree with those statements. Yet, when we look at their practical engagement with Scripture, just a couple of numbers here that only a third of students, under a third, almost 30%, indicated they read their Bibles on their own at least 7 times in the previous month. And about 2/3 say they prayed on their own in the last 7 times in the last month. So prayer kind of takes that effort, but when Scripture's involved, there's just not as much engagement.
Right.
Even though they would say, yeah, we believe it's true. It's the basis for moral truth. We believe it's authoritative in all its claims. They're just not engaging with Scripture. And as a matter of fact, a lower percentage would say that the Bible is the thing that assists them most in their spiritual growth, behind prayer, friends, camp, church attendance, maybe being a part of those. So there are positives related to that, but the thing that was rated lowest in the thing that helps me grow in my faith is God's word.
Right.
And we know that that's God's revealed will to us. So if we're disengaged from his revealed will and studying that and knowing that, then we're going to be less inclined to do what it says and to do what he says. So it's just one of the disconnects that I see in our disciple-making process. I call it the holes in the pavement of disciple-making.
Right.
Is I just see that we say these things, but are we truly— Are they a realized value? Or are we just stating them? Like, oh yeah, I believe it's true. I don't practice it. Yeah. So how can we then take that and say, oh, okay, all of those things are positive. We want to engage students in church attendance. We know that that's important. Being connected to the body. We want them in influential relationships with peers and adults. We want them to pray. That's at the basis of our spiritual, accessing the spiritual power we have through Christ from God is through prayer and seeking him out. But we need to be connected to his word. And if we're connected to his word, we begin to see like he sees so we can do what he says.
So, and did you have any more on that, like talking about prayer and your personal times of prayer? You said they prayed, 7 times a month? What was that percentage?
Yeah, 2/3. So more students say they pray on their own than they
actually read
the Bible. Although we do see that many students, the vast majority of students, would regularly be involved with small group Bible study. It's just that personal engagement in the Word is lacking.
Right.
And so you and I both know the best way that we can stay on track with the Lord and be walking in Him is to walk in His truth. And that means we're in His truth and knowing His truth. And so, yeah. This research also gives me a great, nod to small groups and Sunday school ministry. And
yeah.
Because the students learn, and they've indicated in our research that they learn most effectively the Bible and how to share their faith in a small group led by an adult.
Yeah.
And so we need to keep doing those things. Those are valuable. Those are
right.
important. Our students value church that are coming to camp. And so we need to mm-hmm. keep them engaged. But we need to find ways to help fill those holes and get them engaged personally with Scripture, however that looks and however we can do that.
Talk about mentoring and discipleship relationships
yeah.
with students.
This is another one of those holes for me, these disconnects, yeah. Because we value it and we say it's important. None of us would disagree that disciple making is this mandate we've been giving. Make disciples, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Mm-hmm. Make disciples. So we've been given this mandate. Yet a low percentage of our church population, our church membership, is actually engaged in disciple-making relationships
yeah.
or even engaged in discipleship efforts, so mm-hmm. a small percentage. So it's this thing that is this mandate that's so important for us, yet it's maybe under-realized. I think that that's true of students as well. Although many are engaged in a small group Bible study, mm-hmm. Very few are engaged peer-to-peer in small groups and leading a Bible study with a group of their friends and engaged in those behaviors.
Right.
So that means to me there could be a challenge on leadership that maybe we're not creating inroads, we're not creating opportunities. So how can we create opportunities to plug student leaders, students who are aimed that way, into leading those discipleship relationships? Because that's where their strongest influences often are going to come from.
Yeah, I mean, try not to jump ahead to where we're going to go, but students are more influenced by their peers than, you know, in a lot of things. So, like, if they are influencing their peers, if they're equipped to do so
yeah.
in mentoring and discipling and, you know, sharing the gospel mm-hmm. with their friends, they're going to reach
right.
their generation better.
Yes.
If they're focused in that way. You talked about that, how students prefer like Bible study and Sunday school and everything. Can you talk a little bit about church attendance and small group attendance and things that you may have learned from the study in that?
Yeah. So when we look at the things that students ranked as far as the things that help them grow spiritually, we mentioned this in relationship to the Word and reading their Bible. Reading the Bible was last in a list of five things, behind camps or retreats. And I think some of that might be a camp bias. They're in the middle of a camp taking this survey. It's going to be formative. It's going to be important. So, yeah, that has a big part in my spiritual growth.
A little bit of a halo effect.
Yeah, halo effect. Yeah. It's been a good week, you know, so we've had fun. But then you look at some of the others, and I think attending church was second. Time spent in prayer, third. Very close behind that was Christian friends. And then below that was reading the Bible. And so you can see that friends are valuable. Spending time in prayer, I mean, the students understand the importance of that. It rates higher than being engaged with God's Word as far as they indicate in their lives. But then connecting with the body, attending church, I think students feel that. I think there's an importance there, and I think that's something for us to build on. Like, students see that it's important. It makes a difference. We need to get them engaged and connected. Mm-hmm. How can we engage them with the body of Christ so they can be influenced, not just by their adult leaders, but by their friends? You talked about influence a moment ago. I think it's interesting. We asked two influence questions on the survey. One is just general influence, your personal influence in your life. Mom and dad, 1 and 2. Followed by Christian friends, then youth pastors was behind grandparents. Mm. So if we look at that, it kind of gives us a humility check, right?
Right?
An ego check of like, let's reevaluate and have in perspective the role that we have in students' lives. So influential, and then spiritual influence. Now youth pastor would jump to 2.
Right.
over dad, and then Friends is behind that. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of influence. We could balance Friends' influence as well as spiritual influence by engaging them in these peer relationships around mm-hmm. discipleship and disciple making. But it also underscores the importance of the home. Right. I think, you know, bravo to mom. She anchors the lead spot on both of those influence questions every year. Dad has actually moved up, which is encouraging.
Hey, go dads.
In influence, go dads. In influence over youth pastor, but they're still behind youth pastors in spiritual influence. So we as youth pastors, excluding the youth pastors who are dads, but we as youth pastors, we need to recognize that we have this responsibility and role from Scripture, but also just practically to say they're in the home most, and we need to help parents become spiritual leaders. Mm-hmm. We obviously will have parent substitutes and be parent substitutes at right. times in the absence of a spiritual parental figure mm-hmm. in the home. Because some of our students are coming from very difficult homes. If we look at some of the things that they're dealing with on this survey, mm-hmm. A bad relationship with parents, a poor relationship with parents on a regular basis is something that students indicated at a pretty high rate mm-hmm. That a lot of them are dealing with. And I think it just exasperates many of the problems mm-hmm. that they face and the mm-hmm. things that they feel. So I think it just, you know, is a rally cry for us to say, let's keep ourselves as leaders in the church in perspective. Let's see where the greatest influences are coming from. How can we build into and leverage those relationships as we help students, one, come to faith and grow in Christ?
Wow, Todd, that is a lot of information. we're gonna have to put a pause right here and save this for another episode. We're going to continue on this topic.
I get two episodes?
We've got awesome. Some more stuff that we want to talk about that I think you're going to find valuable, so you'll want to tune in. We're going to be back with another episode of this podcast. This topic. But if you enjoy this conversation, we always have conversations like this. Just look for our podcast at BaptistMessenger.com or search for us wherever you download podcasts. Just search for Baptist Messenger. You're sure to find us. While you're at BaptistMessenger.com, be sure to subscribe to the print edition of our newspaper. It's free. We mail it to your house. There's always some good content in there that you're going to not find online. So thanks. God bless.
See ya.
This Messenger Insight has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptists. Visit us at BaptistMessenger.com or your preferred podcast platform. Oklahoma Baptists, advancing the gospel together.